First of all, being here, everybody, welcome to our Hedekah Chabura here, Hedekah Bad. We meet every Yom Rishon in the evening, and the main purpose is we try to work on things in Maisa, hands-on, you know, workshop that's so vital and important to grow in all areas of Bodhis Hashem. So we hope that Hashem will give us Yait Nishmaya. We should be able to use our evening tonight to get kind of a little bit shlemus. Reviewed the understanding of what we had spoken about last week, that because we are under a different mode of hashpah than the Klal Yisrael, than the Umas Ha'olam. So Mele, we have a different Hanhoga and we have different Hishtadlus. That was basically what I said over the way it understood what we spoke about last week. But if I can fine tune it, correct it, it's true. But the main point that we wanted to bring out was even more than that. That when Kosh Baruch Hu, we spoke about the Shemitah, you know, that I don't think the Olam at large out there, you know, Klal Yisrael in general, is aimed on the on what the Kadosh Baruch Hu was demanding of Klal Yisrael by the Tzivui of the Shemitah, that he was in essence asking of Klal Yisrael that they should commit suicide, financial suicide, that literally, because at that time all Klal Yisrael here in Eretz Yisrael, they had their piece of land. Most of them, you know, you live on the main sustenance that people live on, alechem anosh yisod, that people live on the grains. That you know, that's what you feed your babies and your children and your adults, and everybody lives on the lechem. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu was requesting of Klal Yisrael that don't make the necessary ingredients that you must have in order to grow lechem. In other words, you are not going to grow lechem this year, and lechem is not like the grapevines that, you know, that grow by themselves. You know, you have to prune them, of course, and you know, and do things to stimulate that they should grow better and stronger and more. But they grow. Fruits grow in the trees, but the grains don't grow unless you plant them. And Hashem was asking Klal Yisrael not to plant, which means that means millions of people are not going to have, whole Klal Yisrael is not going to have, you know, the grains, you know, and Yovel, it's 2 years, right? And it's going to be about 3 years, because the third year also you're not going to plant, so then it's going to go into that next year also. So really, people aren't aware of the seriousness of the request. Like, I would give an example that the person is riding in a 747 jet. Now we have to believe that Munah Shalema, when you're riding the Imla, you have these four gigantic, you know, jet engines, humongous jet engines, but you have to believe that they have nothing to do with it. The reason why you're up 7 miles in the sky is because Hashem is keeping you up there. No other reason. You have the jets, but the reason why you're in the sky is only up there, you're able to step in the sky. It's only one reason, Hashem. So let's say you would get orders from Hashem, whatever it means. Hashem is saying, now jump out of the plane, right? So what that amounts to is that if you really believe that the only reason why you're up there that's keeping you up is Hashem, and he tells you to jump out of the plane, so you would have the confidence to jump out, because if you really believe the only reason why you're staying up is him, and he told you to jump out, so you're just putting your confidence in his hands that you believe in, right? You're doing an act to show that if you were able to do that, you're showing that the whole time you believe you're only in his hands. So in his hands, he says to go out of the plane. So you are in a act in the form of a maisa, showing that you believe that he's the one that's keeping you up, right? So that's what happens by Shemitah. By Shemitah, also you are showing, demonstrating that you really believe you really believe that that the you believe. Yeah, just take out the battery. That you believe that the only reason why you're getting the food is only because of him. And if he says don't plant, so now this separates the men from the boys, right? If you really believe that he's the one that gives it, and he tells you don't plant, so that means you're going to get it anyway, right? Because he's the one who gives you all the time, and he tells you don't plant, and if you don't plant, you're really not going to get it. But if you really believe that he's the one that gives it, so you won't plant, and you have the confidence to do it. So that was there was one step more than just that we're in a different level. That wanted to bring out last week that you're doing an act. Something, not just you believe, you think that way. The Shabbos, you have Lechem Mishneh, Geshmak Achali, you believe in Lechem Mishneh, that is very nice. It's, the big fat Brooklyn bakery Achali, Geshmak, and you're showing that you believe in Lechem Mishneh. This is a different thing. You believe that Hashem is giving, that you are doing an act, that you're putting yourself on a limb now, that you're depriving yourself and your whole family. You have 10 little children, hungry children, so you want to a big tzaddik, a big mekubal, that he should eat karuvim or something, that's fine, big Rosh Hashiva, big Rebbe, whatever, but here 10 kinderlach, mommy, I'm hungry, where are they going to get their food from? It's not a joking matter. There's no markolet, to go buy it, the markolet, and where are you going to get it from? The food, for the kids, cereal, main steak, for the children, they have to have something, and you are doing a very positive, positive, aggressive move, to show that that you believe in Hashem. It's like Hashem would be asking of you, I want you to hold your breath for 10 minutes. He's requesting that you cover your mouth and your nose, and for 10 minutes you don't breathe. Right? So if Hashem asks of it, so you show that you believe that the only reason why I'm breathing now, I'm only being there only because of Hashem. So if Hashem requests of you, please stop breathing. So by that way, you are showing that you believe that the only reason why you're breathing now is only because of Hashem. And if He tells you to stop breathing, so He's the boss over the breath, and whatever He wants to do with you, He'll do. But you show that you believe that He's the one that gives you life. If He asks you to do this act, that looks like you are not doing the thing you have to live. So you're doing that because you believe that even when you're doing it, it's only Him that's giving it to you. So if He says don't do this, so you feel that it's logical and obligated to fulfill His request. So that was the point. That was the main point, that in Shemitah you're doing an aggressive, outward, radical act, that is only in accordance with the belief. And b'schuzeh we get a special bracha. So I wanted to say, what does that do with us, Kabbalah HaTorah? Because they say that we in this generation also, especially all of us, even people that are working, but especially people learning Torah all the time, but to a large degree, all of us that let's say people like this in this community. So you really should do much more if you want to finish Shabbos HaPanasa. That if you compare it to the world standards, maybe you should do much more, and you're limiting even your shtablis, because you know that the tibiyotzi chiyav shtablis. But like if you wouldn't be Jewish, let's say, and you'd be living in Colorado or something, so probably you're spending more time working than you do here. And the basis of limiting it is because it's like a certain way, in a certain bechina, like the shemitah, like this by the shemitah, you put your hands in the, you put yourself in the hands of Hashem. So you're also you're limiting your shtablis. Of course, you're working, but the Shemitah, you don't work at all. But in a certain way, that you're putting yourself in a predicament, lechatchila, that if you wouldn't be Jewish, so you wouldn't be doing that. You know, you do much much bigger hishtablis, and you're just limiting yourself because you know that the Rosh Hashanah is the finest akoyel, and you know that you have Torah to learn, you have other things to do with your time besides working. So mimela, because of the Torah, you are limiting your shtablis. You know, you're not doing it according to the according to the standards, the concept of the world, what they would consider what you should really be doing for your shtablis, and you're willing to limit it on the basis that you believe that Hashem is the Mefarnes HaKoyel, and this is what His Ratzon is. So you're not, you know, stopping to work completely, like in the Koyel, that's what they amount to what they do, but you're limiting it, and that even limitation is also a demonstration that you believe that Hashem is Mefarnes, you know, and you're limiting it for Him, for His honor, because you want to have time that you can sit and learn and be a good yid, right? So you're limiting your shtadlis is like the shmita in a certain way. You know, it's like and through that you zeicha to have a, it's a cycle that because you do that, so mele you zeicha to a bracha of a shefa bracha in a shemayim. It's like they would zeicha to a big shefa because they did that. You know, they put the afkid biyotcha afkid ruchi. So because of that, they got a special chef of a bracha. So we also, in certain bechina, that because you're doing like the shmita in a certain kind of way, so because of that, we zeichet to a special chef of a bracha. That was the and that was the kesher with Matan Torah, that the shmita helps us to be mekabel Torah. In other words, according to like that we're mekabel our Torah, and we're willing to limit our shtablis of panasa for the sake of kabbalah satayra. That was the main nakuda. Sorry if I didn't bring it out more clear last week. But the aside of it, of course, is like you said, that there's a different hanhaga, but this is taking it one step further, that we're doing something that we have this week Be'ez Hashem, this week, so Be'ez Hashem, now this is our last lap before a couple, you know, Kabbalah Satara. So I want to again suggest that we should continue again our Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's important to the Matan Torah, and the Kabbalah Satorah is tied up with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we should, those two Uvdas that we did for Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering the Esam Makas, when we do the twice a day Makayim and Mitzvah Deraisa of the Chivas Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mitzvah Deraisa, right, Rabbi Sain, and also we had we want to concentrate on the Kriyas Yamsuf when we say the Shira Sayyam every morning, Oz Yashir. So without any doubt, if we say when the Chazal put that into the Pesukim Dimra, it wasn't just like another shtickle Shira to Hashem. The Chazal wanted us to capture a little bit of that special feeling that Kriyasa, when they said these words, because they were reflecting, you know, thoughts and verbalizing what it meant to be witnessing, you know, the greatest demonstration of the Malchus Shemayim, right? So the Ufta is that in the morning when we say the Shira, try to capture a little bit, as much as you could, the feeling and visualize, you know, the Kriyas Yamsuf. So that was being Mamshech, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And together with that, also for Kabbalah Satorah, like the minor Uvda, was also the Segula from the Vilna Gaon. You all remember that, right? The first thing that comes to mind, thought that comes when you come to consciousness to try to be mekabel the old Torah, and if you don't remember to do it then, thereafter, whenever you remember, you know, try to take it upon yourself. I'm mekabel on myself the old Torah for today. And the Vilna Gaon said that it's a gebaltik eskula to have hatzlacha siyata d'shmaya when you leave the Torah that day. And we added all to the Chazei Nish, attributed his success in learning because he's mechaber in five places: Birkas Torah, Avo Rabo, Seif Bilibenu, Shmoneser Atachoinim, and Birkas Shemei. Tomorrow morning we'll say it Be'ez Hashem, Yiftach Li Baraisa, and of all Tzion, Yiftach Libenu. Those, you know, five places. A main uvda, Rabbi said, that I wanted to suggest for this week is something like very, very chashuv, Rabbi said. It's very critical and crucial for our Kabbalah Satira. You know, it's the understanding, the comprehension, and the appreciation of and the evaluation of our Limud HaTorah, right? That to realize and evaluate the time that we put in for our Limud HaTorah, how chashuv it is. Now, let's say, you know, we're living in a world of darkness. The whole world of Gashmi is darkness, right? Even at very, very best, you know, when things are like dearly clear, you have more of a Gilui Shechina. In this ideal form, like this world, the whole essence of this world, the Metzius, the definition of Olam Hazeh, is that it covers the truth, right? But it's to different degrees, you know. There's the curtain can be, you know, a centimeter, half a centimeter thick, or it could be 10 miles thick, you know, the curtain of darkness. But there's always a certain choshech in this world. But the Maisa, especially nowadays, if I say that we're going through periods of tremendous, tremendous choshech, you know. And as far as the emes is concerned, and especially when it comes to the appreciation, understanding of what Torah is, so the darkness affects, you know, has effect in an awesome way, you know, especially when it comes to this area of Torah, basically. So like. According to the emes, where the emes of the emes is that the most precious, the most important activity, preoccupation that a person can have in this world is Limud HaTorah. Like, there's nothing in this world that's more important, that has a higher priority, that has a more chashivus than the Limud HaTorah. What I'm saying, that is, you say this. You know, nowadays, recently. You know, the universe is humongous, right? The vast universe, the Milky Way, and you know, the celestial bodies, the air, you know, the space is, you know, who knows how far the space goes. But, very recently, some young lady that she was able to work out a new kind of telescope. I don't know if I'm familiar with it. Some kind of new telescope. I think it's 8 stories high or something. And with that, she's able to discover like awesome amount of vastness of the space that they never realized before how big it is. You know, that it's something in the middle of the Milky Way, this black hole, something like the vastness of it is like. I mean, they gave numbers, it doesn't mean anything, but, you know, like hundreds and thousands of, you know, light years, and place, you know, people that are more into this, you know, field of science, that means much, so much more, these numbers, and they said that, you know, recently, through her discovery, it opened up, like such realization of how vast the universe is, that whatever the ideas they had up to now, like, it's so much more expanded, you know, because of her. So you have like the whole universe, as much as we know about it, from the beginning to the end. Of course, we don't know the limits of it yet, but there's some, and from all the things there, the most important the most important preoccupation that there is, what can occupy his time, what he can do in this world, is learning Torah. You know, staying over Gemara, Omar Abaye. That Omar Abaye is the most important preoccupation that it can have in the whole vastness of the whole world, the whole universe. And the chashivas of it is undescribable. There's no words that can describe the chashivas of what it means. You know, when he's sitting and learning Torah, per se. Like I say, the darkness of this world, the chashicha of this world, covers this, you know, to a very large degree. So it's very hard to, you know, to imagine the picture. But that's, you know, that's what it is. You know, in a certain way, to a certain degree, there is been like a certain amount of light coming into this door, even though there's so much darkness and there's so much zilzal of Torah and hashpah of Torah and bittle of Torah and pushing down the Torah by all over the world, and it's mind-boggling, the extent of the bittle that people have, among Avachinu B'nai Yisrael of Torah, right? But in a certain degree, in these days, very recently, there's been an upsurge, Baruch Hashem, of a certain realization of Torah. Like before, in the Holocaust, before the Holocaust, in the time of Europe, in the Enlightenment movement, and that scholar, like really Oyel Menorah, right? The Hashpah of Torah, then even in within the yeshiva camps, in the yeshivas, even though the learning was shtag, but a lot of the people in yeshiva were influenced already by that scholar, and the covenant of Torah went down tremendously. It was very, very difficult for a Ben-Torah, somebody learned yeshiva, to find even a young lady that would be master to marry them. There was such a tremendous brainwashing and campaigns against Torah, against the Jews of Torah. And at that time, they didn't have the seminaries that they have today, to try to combat it. So the girls, most of the girls, of course, they were against any Torah. But even the better girls, it's very hard to find mamish, a young woman that really was stark, they didn't cover the hair, and they were inconsistent and hypocritical about the Yiddish faith, even the good ones. That's why a lot of times some of the Rosh Hashivas, from last door, Rosh Hashivas Rabbanim, a lot of times you see their wives didn't cover the hair. It wasn't because they were lax about it. It's open halacha. That's not subject to but many of them didn't have a choice. They pushed it if they wanted to get married. They had to settle. And these were really the best ones. That at least they were willing to marry a Ben Torah, but they were unwilling to to do these things. And many times certain Rosh Hashivas, they looked down upon by many people because they felt that they were, they themselves were kalas reish, and they were didn't have the yerushimayim, but their wives went like that. But you don't realize that it was because of the terrible matzav of the Haskalah that was prevalent then, and the girls didn't have what they have today. So 99% wouldn't think of marrying a Ben Torah with all the propaganda against Torah, and even the few of them that would mask him, but they weren't the tzaddikas hador. A lot of them, Taka, didn't have the Yerushimayim to cover the hair and, those kind of things. So it wasn't so much the Rabbanim weren't up to par. It's unfortunately, the girls weren't, they didn't have the opportunity to get the proper, chinuch, to understand these things. Anyway, the Maitha, I just want to say that said that was a Mardig period of Hashpola, you know, in that period. And now, to a very large degree, Baruch Hashem, there's a great light, you know, to a certain degree, like you see how much of the yeshivas have expanded and exploded, like, you know, Mardig yeshivas, like you see in America, Lakewood Yeshiva, you know, thousands and thousands. I remember when Lakewood, when Baruch Hashem started Lakewood Yeshiva, he started with a few talmidim. I remember when he had like 75 talmidim, and there were thousands, literally thousands and thousands of them. Mir Yeshiva today, it's thousands, 8,000, 9,000 talmidim. Like also, I remember when we first came here, it was empty, the place, like a few people in the base medrash, and yeshivas and Panovich. All the yeshivas, there was a tremendous explosion of a certain recognition of Torah, the importance of Torah. But you know, but at the same time, you know, there is also still today, like an awesome milchama, you know, of battle against Torah and fighting Torah and so. What I'm talking about is just on a personal level, our own. It's important that we ourselves, because of the darkness that we're living in, just for ourselves, our own learning, that we should feel, you know, the chashivas of Torah, like, and in order to make it, you know, the proper kabbalas of Torah, that we take it upon ourselves. So many of us. Like you do it because you know, we've heard some good schmoozing about it, and it's, we've been inspired, you know, that it's talking the right thing, and we have a tremendous schus that from I don't know, we want to say hundreds, thousands of balabatim that you make a percentage and, you know, make a survey of how many of balabatim like yourself sitting here tonight. So you look at a national, you know, survey picture, so, you know, that you consider yourselves heroes, mamash, like yechide skula, Rabbi Sai, you know, once that, you know, but you have mordik eschusim, that you say, whatever you did, that to be, have a bracha from the Shemayim, that you have the seichel and the understanding of the chashivas of Torah, that you're willing to be where you are today. So that's like the positive side. The other side, that because of the massive of Torah, so sometimes we make the commitment, you know, because like Baruch Hashem, like we have like the minimum kind of hashkafa, but to feel like how important it is and how great we are for every minute that we learn and how chashiv it is. So sometimes we're lacking in that. It's very important that we, it's not gaiva, but we should feel pride, the pride of every minute that we have, that we're able to learn Torah, that we're doing the most important thing in the whole universe. You know, like sometimes they pick the scene that sometimes some of us, like, we have to go speak to a doctor, a big professor. We're looking for a good orphan that your wife is pregnant and you want to check out in the pregnancy with a very, very big doctor, you know, so you have to work for weeks, protexia, to make the appointment with this, you know, the melech and the melech, and then finally get in to see him, you know, with the different rooms, finally let you into the inner sanctum, you know, with his gray, you know, temples and, you know, and his dirty jeans today, you know, and he's sitting there, and, you know, behind the desk, and you feel like humbled, you know, like a great professor, and you have this chus, you know, to go in to spend a few words to him. But the truth is that because you're zeicher, to spend time learning Torah every day, so the table should be turned. Like he has his chus to spend a few minutes talking to you, bemes. You know, that it's not just you psych yourself out, psychological warfare. You know, you feel good. It's the emes. That's where the emes. And when if Mashiach would be here, you know, and there would be true values. So that's what it'll look like. You know, anybody today, the zeicher, like yourselves, to have a keshe with Torah, to have siddurim in Torah, to learn Torah and to appreciate Torah, understand it, you know, the value of it and the chashivas of it. So Each one of you should have like your own chauffeur to drive yourself around, to drive you around the schedule. Each one is a hero. They, you know, if you understand the chashiyus of Torah and the little bit aura that's in the world and the achrayus, the responsibility that you have. Of course, the people that are learning full time, it's kosher game. But even people like yourself that aren't, if you don't learn full time, but if you, in fact, if you spend, you have a kfiyas every day of learning Torah and you understand the chashivas and the importance of it, you should have to have the concept and the value system of that you're doing the most important thing in the whole universe that could be done more than any professor and any doctor, the biggest billionaires, the guy was about this guy that owns Facebook, Zuckerman, whatever his name is, you know, more than any rich person, as rich as they are, and any professor and any field, like these few these few minutes that you sit down and learning Torah, so you're doing the most important thing that's possible to do in the whole universe, and it's very important that we should realize this and be machshiv it and appreciate it. You know, sometimes if we do it because, you know, whatever the reason is, we got into this mode, so we go along with it. You know, we just do it because whatever it is, you know, that's our mode, we have a chunas this way, we had a good Rebbe or something, and they got us, you know, involved and enough to appreciate to do it, but to have the true concept of the extreme supreme importance of it, sometimes we're lacking in that. Right? So the Uvda L'Maisa for this week, if I say, they felt that it's important to focus on this idea. You know,
just think about it.
And we can anchor it down that Nefesh HaChaim, the Shaar Dalet speaks about it. I think, you know, the Chofetz Chaim, I think, had, you know, sperm on this also, Shem Oilet maybe. You can ask Yerav, you know, like, if you want to do some, just chizuk, this Indian, that how important that learning Torah is, that's the most important thing in the whole universe. Like, I'm sure that he had make some good suggestions or something to learn, you know, some parts of a sefer where the subject is spoken about. But yigba liboy, that Hashem, like the feel the gaiva. I mean the straight gaiva, the feel the pride of the chus of the yom to learn the Torah. So yes, rabbi, if you can make a suggestion, you have to look at it, a bit safer to look up for these things. And of course, when we say the world Zion, you know, we should have special kavana when we say that. And also when we say Oleinu, right, Oleinu Shafeach, right. We know the MS, right? MS. Very important that when we say those words, that we should that we should have this in mind, that this thing that the Zeicher, the most precious thing in the whole world and the most precious preoccupation that's possible to do, that we should feel that that's what we're doing, you know. And also, just the idea of it comes out of practical things sometimes, that, you know, we have more time to learn sometimes. Because we don't realize the chashivas of it, so we might, you know, trade it off for some other thing that's not so important, you know, because, okay, we have Asadorim, but if we understand how important it is, and now, you know, so we would be much more mocking on our time. Okay, but since you have Baruch of Hatzlocha, Taka, you should be Zechat, you have the Emissa, Kabbalah Satara, but you say, and you should be able to, you know, be true and emistic, and you should be able to grow the Torah ourselves, and Yerushalayim, and Mamish, and to have the Masikas of Torah, the real enjoyment from the Torah that's very, very critical, and we should have parnasa, and we should have brias, and we should have nachas, and shalom bayis, and emes, you know, simcha zachayim.
No, we don't share it. Next week
from the sermon. Why?
I don't know. I want to say yom tov.